Hello, Marvelites! You are listening to This Week in Marvel, episode number 517, and I'm Ryan Panagos, a.k.a. Agent M.
And I'm Lorraine Singh!
Well, well, well. Yes, you thought you got rid of me. I understand. You thought that maybe, just maybe, you would get through all of 2021 without your boy, James Monroe Iglehart, a.k.a. JMI. But no, I have returned. In the words of a great villain, I am inevitable.
Can we make your new villain name the Prodigal Son?
Please. That would be so awesome. Hello, everybody. I'm back, and I'm so happy.
I was really enjoying the villainous nature of your return, and I was hoping that was going to be the rest of JMR. But then you came in with all the positivity and the energy after that, which is that's more you.
It's so hard for me to be villainous because I'm so excited. I am giddy as a Marvel fan in line for a new Marvel film or Marvel comic that comes out. Just seeing you guys and talking to you guys. I've been away so long.
James, for our listeners who haven't heard you in a while, what the hell have you been doing?
I have been a little busy. So I was in Ireland filming a wonderful Disney movie called Disenchanted, which is the sequel to Enchanted. I have also been getting ready to open Broadway back up with this little tiny show called Hamilton. I have also been getting ready to open up another little tiny show that just may have been awarded a special Tony called Freestyle Love Supreme, which opens on October 9th. Also, I bought a house.
Well, I didn't know that part.
Yeah. Bought a house and moved and lost a cat, unfortunately, but gained a kitten. And now there's another cat. So there's three cats in the house that ranges from literally the age of 19 to 6 to literally a year old. So we have all the ages in the house. It is definitely like watching Generations type of weird movie on Lifetime. But Marvelites, I must tell you, I have missed you. I was there when they opened Marvel Studios, Shang-Chi and the Legend of the Ten Rings. I was there for Marvel Studios, What If, exclusively on Disney Plus. I know you have not heard my voice, but trust me, Marvelites, I have been there.
That's a lot of pent-up excitement. I like this.
I will attend that church.
Pretty great, as is this show where we talk about all the stuff that's happening this week in Marvel that we're excited about, from games, comics, movies, TV, and so much more. And it's a doozy because we have two interviews on the show this week, including Monger Zhang from Marvel Studios Shang-Chi and The Legend of the Ten Rings. And this week, Disney CEO Bob Chapek announced that the film will hit Disney Plus on Friday, November 12th, which the studio is designating as Disney Plus Day. Woohoo! Can I get one of those little horns?
Fwee, fwee, fwee!
Yeah, one of those. And it'll include The Jungle Cruise that day, Home Sweet Home Alone, Olaf Presents, which is a series of shorts, and other animated stuff. There's also going to be a really cool celebration of the origin and legacy of Boba Fett, which I'm very excited about. We have a lot of great comics with Boba Fett. Boba Fett! Boba Fett! That's out there for any Return of the Jedi fans. And then they also said there's a special celebrating the Marvel Cinematic Universe on Disney Plus with an exciting look towards the future.
That's a whole bunch of good stuff, but let's get into some more good stuff, which of course I'm talking about Marvel's Hitmonkey. Yeah. If you haven't seen the teaser yet, go on over, check it out on Marvel.com or the Marvel YouTube channel. It's going to be premiering exclusively on Hulu this November. It's this awesome dive. You should really go watch the trailer, but it's a dive into Tokyo's sort of underworld. And we meet Hitmonkey, who is this cute little Japanese snow monkey. Well, he's also very violent, but he's aided by a ghost of an American assassin. And they go on this revenge quest to become the famous killers of killers. So go check it out. It's going to premiere November 17th on Hulu. All episodes are coming out at once, so you can sit down, watch them all, enjoy them all. And I have to say, it's starring Emmy Award-winning Jason Sudeikis, a.k.a. Ted Lasso, a.k.a. SNL superstar. I just love this guy. He's so funny. As well as George Takei.
Oh, come on.
Yeah.
Oh, my. And Olivia Munn.
Yes.
So definitely go check that out. Go watch the trailer. Watch the show November 17th only on Hulu.
Yeah, and I want to point out also that the creators of the show are Josh Gordon and Will Speck, who I got to talk to them on the phone a while ago, and I was just like, all right, cool. I just got to tell you guys, I love Blades of Glory so much. And Blades of Glory is a movie that they directed in 2007. It is an ice skating movie starring Will Ferrell and John Heder.
It is so good.
It is so friggin' good. I love that movie so much. I'm very excited about Marvel's Hitmonkey. It's going to be cool.
The trailer looks amazing.
Yeah. There's also some Hitmonkey comics that you can read on Marvel Unlimited and check those out. Get excited. Get hyped. Speaking of things we're hyped about is Marvel Studios' What If. I think everybody saw the mid-season trailer and all the stuff that's going on. The episode that came out this week is What If Thor Was an Only Child.
It is so delightful. Honestly, for anyone who's like, oh man, these episodes, you know, because a lot of them are like dystopian futures or futures where something goes amiss. This is a future where something goes amiss, but to sort of hilarious circumstances, because this is What If Thor Was an Only Child. And, you know, Thor really needed Loki to teach him some important life lessons about hubris and other things. So you can only imagine where this is going to go. It's such a fun, different, ridiculous episode. I'm so excited for people to watch.
So good. Such a great show. Great season. I love it so much.
But of course, be sure to watch Marvel Studios' What If only on Disney Plus.
Speaking of Marvel Studios and awesome stuff, we want to congratulate Victoria Alonso, who's been promoted to President Physical and Post-Production Visual Effects and Animation Production for Marvel Studios. She's Marvel Studios OG, been there since 2006. Mm-hmm. She joined the company as Chief of Visual Effects and Post-Production. She's been co-producer on first Iron Man movie. She's worked incredibly hard behind the scenes on everything you love about Marvel Studios, so it's pretty dang cool. James, I know you love podcast news, and we got a whole bunch of Marvel podcast news this week.
You know I love podcast news.
Yeah, two shows that we want to talk about right now. We've got Marvel's Wolverine La Larga Noche, which is Marvel's first Spanish-language podcast series made in partnership with SiriusXM. It is an adaptation of Marvel's Wolverine The Long Night, and the first two episodes are out right now. Go check that out. It's pretty dang cool, and I love that we have multi-language opportunities out there for some of these amazing scripted shows.
Definitely.
Now, James.
Yes.
Have you checked out any of Marvel's Wastelanders yet?
I have not, and I've been, like, needing that. I've been so entrenched in, like, Hamilton world, I haven't ever do anything. But now that we're opening up, I can listen to anything other than Hamilton, and that this is the first place I'm going.
Your timing is actually perfect, because Marvel's Wastelanders Hawkeye, this new scripted podcast all about Hawkeye in this dystopian future. That's going to premiere October 4th on Apple Podcasts. And it's going to follow Hawkeye, who's played by Stephen Lang, and his estranged 17-year-old daughter, Ash, played by Sasha Lane. And in fact, you know what? Let's listen to the trailer right now.
Sounds like a plan.
No one cares who robbed who busted who. Heroes, villains, we're all obsolete now. V-Day changed all that. The world moved on. Doesn't need our kind, not like that. But you and I, we can still have our uses. We still have value. I know what they took from you, but you lost that day. Who you lost. I know Zemo, Doom, the Thunderbolts. They all took something from you. But they took it from all of us, too. This world is missing something. Something vital and important. Stories. Legends. Myth. Tall tales. They used to talk about Paul Bunyan, Pecos Bill, John Henry. Their names used to ring out. Those legends built this country. No one remembers them now. But they can still remember Captain America, Iron Man, Thor, Black Panther, Black Widow, Hawkeye. Sure, the victors got to write the history, but maybe not all of them. We could remind the people of what they lost. They'd have legends again, something to believe in, something to aspire to. And you and I, we could give them that. A story so large, so fantastic, so amazing, Their eyes will fall out of their heads. Their minds will explode out of their skulls. And the money will fly out of their pockets.
Marvel Entertainment and SiriusXM present Marvel's Wastelanders, Hawkeye. Hear it first Monday, October 4th, exclusively on the SXM app or by subscribing to Marvel Podcasts Unlimited on Apple Podcasts and coming soon everywhere. Learn more at SiriusXM.com/Wastelanders.
Listen to Marvel's Wolverine La Larga Noche and Marvel's Wastelanders Hawkeye exclusively on the SiriusXM app or by subscribing to Marvel Podcasts Unlimited on Apple Podcasts and coming soon everywhere. Learn more at SiriusXM.com/Wastelanders.
Whoa, 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 whoa. What is this Marvel Podcasts Unlimited on Apple Podcasts business? Lorraine, can you explain this to me?
I thought you would never ask. All right, SiriusXM launched a premium podcast subscription this week with Marvel via this new free Marvel channel on the Apple Podcasts app. So what does that mean? That means you can open your Apple Podcasts app, go over to the Marvel Podcast Unlimited, which offers fans early and exclusive access to a growing assortment of original audio pieces and podcasts from Marvel and SiriusXM. So the channel includes free access to shows like Marvel's Wolverine The Long Night, Marvel's Wolverine The Lost Trail, Marvel Method, This Week in Marvel, this show that you're listening to right this moment, Women of Marvel, Marvel's Voices, and Marvel's Pull List. Plus, if you opt for the paid subscription to Marvel Podcasts Unlimited, it costs $3.99 per month in the U.S. or check out your local pricing if you are not in the U.S. And you can also try it out with a free 7-day trial. And that includes Marvel's Declassified, the podcast that I host with Evan Narcisse, going into some of Marvel's secret histories, Marvel's Wolverine La Larga Noche, which we were just discussing, Marvel's Wastelanders Hawkeye, and that's going to have early access to the first two episodes, as well as Marvel's Wastelanders Black Widow, Marvel's Wastelanders Wolverine, and Marvel's Wastelanders Doom that are coming in the future. Go over and check out your Apple Podcasts app and check out the Marvel Podcast Unlimited channel now.
So we talked a whole bunch about the Marvel's Wastelanders audio shows that are out now, that are coming up. But also, we have a bunch of new series of Wastelanders comics on the way starting this December. And these are all set in the timeline, the sort of post-apocalyptic Wastelands that was first established in the Old Man Logan story. So we've got a whole bunch of new stories in this one. It's pretty cool. The creators on these are rad. We've got Stephen S. DeKnight, who was showrunner for Daredevil season one. He directed Pacific Rim movies. He's a rad dude. He's writing Wastelanders Black Widow and Wastelanders Wolverine. We've got Ethan Sachs, who's done a whole bunch of work in the Old Man universe. He's doing Hawkeye. Rich Duick, who is a newcomer to Marvel, but he's been writing a whole bunch of stuff. It's his first Marvel project. He's doing the Wastelanders Star-Lord book. And Torin Grønbech, who is one of my favorites right now. She's been doing incredible work on the Valkyries books and a whole bunch more. She's doing Wastelanders Doom, which, come on, I love it.
That's
so
an awesome pairing. That's a great book for her.
Yeah, and we've got incredible artists like Ibram Mustafa and Brent Peoples, Julius Ota. Will B doing Black Widow is going to be really, really good. Will B does some really great art for us on Marvel's X. So yeah, there's a lot of cool stuff to check out here. Stay tuned. This is all going to be sort of launching in December. So get ready for that.
I'm looking forward to that.
I love these stories, and I think it's been really, really fun to explore some of these dystopias sort of in the what-if style a little bit. What if all these dudes got old, right?
Yeah. Go big, go sad.
Big, go sad.
You know what? Sometimes you just need to go big, go sad.
Right.
All right, let's move on. Ben Reilly's Spider-Man is a new comic that's going to come out in January. And this is a really cool thing that's happening because I'm excited that we're going to get the return of J.M. DeMatteis. So that's really, really exciting and really cool to have him return to work on this book, particularly Ben Reilly. It's going to have art by David Baldion, which is going to slap. I'm so excited for this book. I'm so excited for JM's return.
Take my money.
James, you've read Kraven's Last Hunt, right?
Yeah.
Classic. JM did that. And for anybody out there who's not seen David Baldion's art in the last year or two, he just finished up a run on X-Factor. He did a great Star Wars book recently, but man, David Baldion is running circles around folks right now. It's so, so good. Speaking of stuff that's so good, there's a brand new Venom and Carnage Infinity comic this week, and it's got a killer creative team. It's written by Carla Pacheco, who her Spider-Woman stuff is so good right now. It's disgustingly good. She's a vile human being of amazing writerness. I love Carla. She's amazing.
Ryan,
she's
I don't think funny. You understand how compliments work.
The bad part is I think if you know Ryan, we know how his compliments work. I think that's how
that's
it is.
That's true.
Yeah.
He may not know how compliments work. We know how his go. So that's what made you go, oh, he called me vile. He loves me.
Yeah. I adore Carla and her work. And then it's drawn by Scott Hepburn, who, come on, he did MODOK recently, MODOK Head Games, and he's one of my favorite artists. And then Ian Herring is a brilliant colorist. The murdery side of Carnage, it's a little like too much for me at times as a grown man.
Yeah.
But I'm excited for this nonetheless.
What I love about you, Ryan, is that you always root for the villains. He roots for the villains, but yeah, if it gets too murdery, it's a little too much for you. It's like you don't mind them winning, you just don't want them killing everybody.
You know, I feel like the thing is that Venom feels bad when he eats somebody. He's like, I shouldn't eat people. And Carnage is like, yeah, I'm just at a party.
Right, yeah.
Carnage, yum.
Carnage is at the club. Like, this is just the first night. Like, we haven't even got to the late night club part. This is just starting.
And Carnage is, like, too much of an edgelord. And I'm just like, I don't need... He's like a redneck edgelord murder guy. And I'm just like, yeah, but... Maybe tone it down a little bit, Fred.
You gotta be true to yourself. Carnage has got to be true to himself.
Very true. This is, again, a brand new Infinity comic has launched this week in the Marvel Unlimited app. That's the only place you can read it, so definitely go check that out. James, have you read It's Jeff yet?
I have not.
Oh, James. What you need to do, as soon as we hang up,
yes.
You need to open up your Marvel Unlimited app. Then you go in, check out the big thing where the Infinity comics are. There's a whole bunch of great ones, but It's Jeff is maybe the greatest piece of fiction released this year.
It is the cutest thing. Jeff is so cute.
I just put it on. Once we're done, I am going to it.
Speaking of Marvel Unlimited, I just want to remind everyone that MU was recently relaunched with over 29,000 digital comics and unlimited downloads, which is a big thing. We used to have a download cap of 12, I believe. Now you can download however many your device can hold, which is pretty good, especially if you're gallivanting around or you're traveling, whatever. I know we've heard from a bunch of users, both folks who have written into the show, people who are tagging us on Twitter about stuff that's going on in the app, you know, things you want, features, whatever, crashes, bugs. So there is an update in the works. We have heard you. The app update was a major change and they're patching up the bugs. The team has implemented a fix that restores your reading history for up to 500 issues, which is huge.
Yes.
We know that. Next, they're working on restoring full reading history for users with over 500 issues and plenty, plenty more. Stay tuned. More news to come. This is what happens when apps get updated with really great new features. Sometimes things just get moved around. It's, you know, it's like when you eat 5 pieces of cake and you then realize you have to eat that big hot dog steak.
No.
Then you
I
gotta
like
find room
gonna
for
go.
It.
Ryan, no.
No.
We're gonna stop.
You don't want me to talk about the food?
No. Let him go. Because I really want it. There's that moment where he says something, you're like, he's serious. Let's see where he goes with this. This is great.
This is going to end in poop, so we got to move on. All right. Please visit marvel.com/unlimited to get started. Of course, automatic renewal and other terms apply, but also Marvel Unlimited has so much new content that absolutely slaps. Yeah. So go check out all of that.
It's called Unlimited for a reason, people. It's unlimited.
Oh, speaking of things that slap, Luna Snow has a new single. If you're not familiar with Luna Snow, she is Marvel's one and only K-pop superhero. She's released 3 singles previously. She was a character that was originally created for Marvel Future Fight, and the team has created now 4 music videos for her singles. It's a real performed song. She raps in both Korean and English in her latest song. And the new single is called Fly Away. The music video is out now on Marvel.com or the Marvel YouTube channel. But you can also pick up the digital single coming out on October 1st.
It's so cool. Like, just the evolution of this character is really, really neat. All right, it is time for the interview portion of the show, and I should say interviews. We've got two for you today. The first up is with Ian Hecox and Ife Nwadiwe, who are from the video channel Smosh over on YouTube. You maybe have seen them doing their Marvel-themed videos for many years, and they're just part of a large, large crew, and they came on the show to talk about their Marvel fandom, a little bit of prankage with Tom Hiddleston, and so much more. So let's go listen to that right now. All right, Lorraine, it is time for Smosh to join This Week in Marvel, and we are welcoming Ife and Ian. Gentlemen, would you please introduce yourselves? We'll start with you, Ian.
Hello, everyone. My name is Ian Hecox. I am the co-founder of Smosh, which is a 15-year-old comedy brand on the internet. Ife?
Yeah, how's it going? It's your boy, Ife Nwadiwe, comedian, actor, writer, all-around goofball. I've been calling myself a professional nerd at this point.
That's our life every day, all day, living that Marvel truth. Now, I'm curious, what are your Marvel origin stories? What was your introduction to the Marvel universe?
I mean, for myself, my first like foray into Marvel, I guess I probably saw the Spider-Man, the Tobey Maguire Spider-Man's first.
Pizza Time.
Yeah, Pizza Time. And I was like, okay, all right, that's a movie. Like, all right. I mean, I was young, so I didn't really like totally appreciate it. And then obviously Iron Man, when that came out, I was like, I didn't know anything about Iron Man. I really, at that time, didn't care, but I heard it was good. So I was like, okay, I'll go into this. I was like, oh, this movie's actually like kind of badass. So that was my intro. Yeah.
Yeah. I have a typical 90s nerd intro, which was, you know, X-Men, the animated series, Spider-Man, the animated series. My dad didn't want to pay for comic books. He was like, you need to read regular books. My dad's Nigerian, by the way. just so you know. Like, why is he talking like that? But like the only comic I was able to get him to buy for me was when I was in a Thrifties, if you remember those.
Yeah.
They had a Bloodshot comic. And I was like, oh, this guy looks cool. He's all white and he has a red circle on his chest. And I had that. I got Bloodshot. My dad like caved and got me and Spawn. But it was like so far in the like story that I didn't even know what was going on. I was like, okay, I guess. So those were my first. And then I tried to get into it again when I started college. And there was I was still talking about this guy till I die. And I was trying to get into comics. And I was like wide-eyed college kid. And he, when I went in and was like, hey, where should I start? And he kind of did the, where should you start? And like gave me like no info. And I was like, bro, you could have made like $100. You could have told me to read every crossover event, every piece of that crossover event. And I would have been like, okay, and would have bought it all. And instead you wanted to be elitist and you'd made no money. That's why that comic book shop is closed.
You're telling me that gatekeeping exists?
Yeah, it's weirder when it's like in person, because you know we're used to it being online and someone like quote tweeting and be like, oh, but when you have like literally in front of the gate, you know, you know, like as which yeah. Like if you're gatekeeping at a comic book shop, you're bad at your job.
Yeah. Seriously. It's like you just don't want your business to survive, I guess.
Yeah,
there was a really big comic book store in Sacramento called Big Brother Comics that they were really cool. Like I went in there a few times and those guys were cool. And that probably explains why I still think they're around.
Yeah. No, there was a comic guy. The eventual one is then a few years later when I started working for the county. There was a comic book shop across from the job. And it was right when two events happened. It was right after, it was the heroic age in Marvel. So they were like, this is the best time to get started because this happened. But if you want to know what happened, and they gave me all the Darkest Night stuff, and then they gave me all the crossover. I forgot what was the crossover event between Heroic Age. I think it was
Dark Reign was right before
Dark Reign. Yes, yeah. Yes. Okay, that's why you host this podcast.
too much up here, man. It's just stuck up there.
But yeah, since then I do it. I don't really buy single issues anymore. I'll try and get, you know, trades now or read it online. I just moved and I had two long boxes and I was like, yeah, no, this is, I have to keep it at these two. I will drag this long long box that I never open, but I'm not adding any more to this.
So if somebody gets into comics like right now, that's kind of the thing, right? Where there's so much backstory and so much that's happened. Do you just have to go on like Wikipedia? How do you kind of like get all that background and then start?
Yeah, this is something that Lorraine and I get asked a lot by our listeners and people at conventions when we were going to those. I also host our weekly comic book podcast called Marvel's Pull List. So we talk about every book every week and we sort of give you entry points into like, here's this, here's why you should check this out, yada, yada, yada. But we have a great editorial staff on our website that puts things together. And then we have a service, which is like my shorthand is the Netflix of comics, which is called Marvel Unlimited. And it's 20, probably almost 29,000 comics in an app that anybody can read and subscribe to. It's the greatest thing because you can read stuff from 1939 when Marvel started to stuff that came out 3 months ago. There's 30,000 plus issues that we've published over 80 years. So
yeah, thank goodness for the internet.
Yeah. To me, there's a point where you just jump in and maybe someone helps you and just says, here, just keep going and keep finding what works for you. I like the idea of somebody just jumping in, diving in headfirst into whatever story is going on, and then having some help to go backwards and go sideways and go forward.
So tell us a little bit about Smosh. What is Smosh and how did it all start, Ian?
Yeah, so Smosh was started with me and my friend Anthony, 2005. We had just graduated from high school and we were bored because most of our friends were moving off to college and we were going to a local community college. We just started making these videos that started out as lip sync videos. We did lip syncs to Mortal Kombat theme song and the Power Rangers theme song and the Pokemon theme song. And somebody stole one of our videos off of MySpace, if that gives you an idea of how long ago I'm talking, and put it on this new website called YouTube. And we were like, oh, what is this? What is this place? Realized we can upload our videos there for free and have somebody else cover the hosting. So that was our reason for uploading to YouTube in the first place, because before that, you had to pay for all of your hosting fees. Whenever somebody watched a video, that cost you money. So that was our first reason for going on YouTube. We're like, hey, well, I mean, now people can watch it for free. So we uploaded on there and it just kind of hit. I don't know why. People really love the Pokemon theme song. We kind of had like little, like back then, there's so many people that were doing lip sync videos, but we kind of did that, but also kind of wove in like sketch elements into it, making jokes about Pokemon. I think that kind of resonated with people. So that Pokemon video became the most viewed video of all time on YouTube for about a year and a half. And then it was removed for copyright infringement.
Come on.
Yeah. Yep. So we had our first taste of fair use issues. So we were like, oh, well, maybe we should create original content that isn't using other people's music or assets. So we started making comedy sketches and people kept watching. So we kept making more. And then a couple years later, YouTube was like, hey, we'll pay you money if you let us put a pop-up ad in your video. Because back then there were zero ads on YouTube. So we were like one of the first 10 channels to be offered this thing. And we were like, okay, well, this means we can quit our part-time jobs and maybe hopefully soon move out of our parents' house. And so we did that. We were afraid that people were going to be pissed off that we had ads on our videos, and they were. But we kept doing it and slowly grew what we were doing, started including other people, started bringing in other talent. And we kind of wanted Smosh to become sort of like the Saturday Night Live of the internet. So we wanted to bring in really funny, awesome people like Iffy and give them a platform to shine. So that's where we are now.
You know, the big part of that story that really hits me is just how old we are. Because I remember that. I remember when I was like, okay, YouTube's popping. Well, I'm gonna see what's up with Google Video. I'm gonna align with them and I'm gonna Google Video failed and then they just bought YouTube.
I mean, yeah. I mean, now there's an entire generation that's grown up with YouTube just existing. you have these people that have wanted to be creators all their lives. Like for myself and Anthony, it was just a thing that existed and we found a space to kind of like work in. There was no such thing as influencers. There was no such thing as creators. Like it was just like we saw an opportunity and we kind of just went after it. But now it's I mean, it's crazy. You know, influencer creator is one of the most like aspirational things for people growing up now. That's what they want to do. It's like, being an astronaut's kind of like old news. Like anybody can do that now. It's wild, man. It's so crazy like how much the landscape has just changed and evolved and exploded. Like there was a time when I knew most of the top creators on YouTube, and now when I go to like VidCon, which is like the big sort of like YouTube convention, I know barely anyone. It's just expanded so much now.
Yeah, it's fascinating. And you're talking about your ages. And while you guys were recounting the story, I was thinking, oh man, I remember putting up my AOL site in 1997, right before I graduated college. And I was like a photographer at local punk shows and stuff like that. And I wanted to create and put up stuff and make something, and how that spiraled into just a couple years later into video and everything else. And it's, man, I'm old. I'm much older than you gentlemen.
Well, I used to follow you on Tumblr. I remember following you on Tumblr. I was like, what's up?
Tumblr.
Tumblr. What a moment for Tumblr fandom. I feel like those early YouTube days are very Tumblr in my mind as well. Yeah. Like that whole thing was kind of like happening at once.
All right, Lorraine, you hinted at this a little bit at the top of the interview. We saw some of the Marvel work you guys have dabbled with. There was the prank interview with Tom Hiddleston for Marvel Studios' Thor The Dark World.
Yeah.
For any of our listeners who have not seen that yet, you can find it on the YouTube. There's only 12 and a half million views to that video. So it's a few people have seen it. Tell us a little bit about how that came about, why you did that, and how Tom reacted once the cameras were completely down.
So we were given the opportunity to interview him, like press junket style. But, you know, what we do isn't very press junkety. We've never done a press junket. And we're like, well, I mean, like, I don't think it's going to make a good video if we're just like, so what was it like being Loki? So we're like, okay, how can we figure out a way to make this interesting? And what we landed on was, okay, the person will interview press junket style, but they're going to have to do whatever the other person tells them to do in an earpiece. So I think on that one, we took turns. I went in and Anthony told me what to do. And then he went in and I told him what to do. There's one part, it's been a long time since I've seen that video, but there's one part that is very not COVID compliant where I like coughed in a cup of water.
Yeah.
And then Anthony was like, offer it to him. I was like, okay, but he's not going to drink it. And I was like, do you want it? He's like, yeah, sure. And he took a drink. I was like, what?
Yeah, Tom is game for things and he'll surprise you, but that was, ugh.
Yeah, no, but I was really, really impressed with how along for the ride he was, and he was totally cool about it before and after. His handler was like a little sketch and he was like totally cool about everything. And I think that was our first prank interview, and it just provided like a really good base for what we did later with some other celebrities.
Man, you're lucky. Tom Hiddleston is like one of the nicest human beings I've ever met on a red carpet or in a junket. I'm glad that you got somebody who's nice.
I am too, because like honestly, like if we got somebody that wasn't so nice, like we probably wouldn't have done it again. So yeah, I think we got really, really lucky with Tom.
So Iffy, now that you're a part of Smosh, you've been doing some cool gaming and stuff. What have you been working on most recently on the channel?
Oh, man. Well, we've been doing a lot of tabletop stuff. Board AF, which is like a perfect marrying of the Iffy Nation. That's what I call people, fans of me, to come into Smosh, because lots of people, they mention either I've been on Dimension 20 with College Humor or Critical Role, and they're like, when are you going to do more tabletop stuff? When are you going to? And I've just never been able to just organize it. So now Smosh, you know, they're taking care of me, keeping me at the table. So it's really fun to do. IRL game nights, it's so much like, I feel like the first 75% of the game is just everyone learning what the game is. And then there's 25% of people playing till they get bored. And then everyone goes home. So, you know, when we're all coming together to learn this game and then have fun and be goofy with it, it's way more fun to me.
Yeah, I have a lot more fun playing board games with y'all than I do in my normal life, because it feels like it's that thing of like compulsory fun.
Yeah,
where it's like, I don't really want to like play this game, but like for some reason, like with our board game show, it's just like everyone's like super engaged, super talented, super funny, so it doesn't feel like a job, you know.
Yeah.
Oh, honestly, playing tabletop games with people who love tabletop games is one of the greatest things.
Oh, yeah.
Do you guys like ever play D&D, or are you more like board game people?
Ooh, it's been highly requested, and there have been some more like straight RP versions, but look, I'm not opposed. I'll DM.
You got to get in that RPG land. I mean, especially when you have so many comedians and a lot of your folks are improvisers, like that's the jam. Playing like an RPG or a round of D&D with a bunch of improvisers.
So in addition to board games, and we already talked a little bit about some video games, what about Marvel games? Have you guys ever dabbled into Marvel video games? Any favorites? Obviously, we had some great ones in the last couple of years with, you know, Marvel Spider-Man and Marvel Spider-Man, ooh, Miles Morales.
Mm. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I played the PS4 Spider-Man, and it was so good.
Mm-hmm.
And then I had a breakup and it was her PS4.
Oh.
So I never got to finish it. And I hear some like real spicy stuff happens towards the end, and I have no idea what it is.
Oh, no.
And I mean, I guess like we're still friends, so I guess I could like maybe just go over to her place and finish it up.
ask for visitation with your old game.
Oh my gosh. For me, it was the Marvel Ultimate Alliance, because I remember playing, you know, Ultimate Alliance, X-Men Legends. Like, that was like me in high school, my friends, we'd all come over. We bought that like PS2 extender where you can have four controllers in, and we'd all just play through. So like getting the play that again, I was real hyped, and just all the like newer characters being implemented in it, it was everything I could ask for and more.
Yeah, that was so good. I used to work at a magazine called Wizard, and at Wizard, mm-hmm, at the time we had Xboxes in the office, so like we would finish work and we were all in our 20s, so we would land the Xboxes in the office and play Halo like throughout part of the office, and then some people would be playing Ultimate Alliance 4-player, and it was just like, that was the best. I just put Ultimate Alliance on my Series X because I had bought it, so I like can play it on the most like ridiculous settings, and it looks great, plays great. Oh man, so good.
Do you ever watch something, or do you ever like read through a series, even though like it's like not so great anymore, but you just feel like you have to out of respect for the original material?
Yeah. That's part of what I'm going through with all the comics here, is like looking at the books that I have and being like, I remember loving this when I was 22, but I'm not 22 anymore.
Yeah.
Is this going to be something that I, you know, keep out of that nostalgia, out of that respect, or can I just move on and save myself a little bit of room? It's tough.
Keep everything and die in a pile of stuff. That's what I always say.
No, Lorraine, we cannot be hoarders.
Can we not?
I'm trying not to be.
Is that like a mantra that you guys have to like recite in the mirror every day? Like, do not be a hoarder. Do not be a hoarder. It's gotta be tough, especially since you guys got the Marvel Connects. Like, is there a point where you just have to say no?
I should. No.
Should we for our marriages? Yes. Do we? No. Our significant others are forced to live in our pies.
I'm looking off to the right, and there is a Deadpool igloo cooler and Deadpool Marvel Legends that I got for video shoots that we're doing. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, cool, I have these for the shoots. But then what? And like, I know I can give them to somebody, but at the same time, but what if I need them again? And then so like,
yeah, the but what if I need them again is like the most damaging phrase.
Yeah, that's why I have so many. I mean, I have so many different fandoms that is like I'm into sneakers, I'm into comics, I'm into anime, I'm into video games. So the amount of stuff that I get is just like, okay, what are we gonna do? Like, I'm running out of space for figures. I have, you know, Miles just sitting right here on my desk because I'm like, I gotta find a place for it. But I'm the same way where I'm just like, I don't want to throw it away because I might just for some reason want to do a bit on Twitter where I'm holding a Miles Morales Funko Pop.
Yes.
So I gotta keep it. That's why I have so many costumes too, because I'm like, you never know when you're doing a sketch.
You know what? You got to enable yourself just a little bit.
Yeah. Yeah. You never know.
That reminds me, we should ask you guys, do you have an all-time favorite Marvel character?
I mean, I it's very easy for me, and I have, it's an arm's reach. But, you know, as like an African kid growing up, having this African superhero, I was like, oh yeah, no, I'm all about Black Panther. And this is the Reggie Hudlin run for people listening and don't know what I held up. but then right behind it is the Ta-Nehisi Coates run. And then behind that is Luke Cage, Power Man, the like Essentials thick book edition. Mm-hmm. So, you know, basically all the Black heroes, I'm rooting for everyone Black, but definitely Black Panther was like the front runner for me.
I just reread the first four issues of Ta-Nehisi's run.
Oh, it's and, so good.
And now we're at the very end of his Black Panther run. And it's just seeing the breadth of his planning and how just, yes, we know the dude is like, I think officially a genius, like categorically been labeled a genius in a number of official ways, but like a comic book writer genius too. It's
Doesn't that just make you angry when somebody is so talented? Like, where they just like
you took all the talent juice.
Their talent just spans. They're like, oh yeah, I think I'll do that thing. And they're just amazing at it. And they're like, yeah, okay, I did that. And I'm going to do this thing. Same thing with like Donald Glover. Like, like dude started out just making like YouTube sketches. And then he's like, you know, I think I'm going to go write for 30 Rock. All right. That was all right. Okay. I'm going to go be on Community now. Okay. I'm just going to be like a massive hip hop star.
Yeah.
Okay. I think I'm just going to be like a really successful actor.
He can't keep getting away with this.
All right. So we talked about characters. What about, you know, 20 plus MCU films? You guys have favorites in the MCU canon, or even TV show or original series on Disney Plus? What's your favorite these days?
Definitely going to still be as predictable as ever and say, of course, Black Panther was my favorite. But I think the MCU in general has been fun because I was talking to someone because they were asking, they're like, I would love to get into the MCU, but like, it's there's just so much. And it was so funny because I found myself describing it like I would comic books. I'd be like, well, you can just follow the mainline Avengers if you want to do that, because they all weave in. And then when you get your interest peaked, you can go back and get the movies that weave in.
Marvel has such a monumental task of like appeasing the old guard and then appeasing the new fans that don't really know anything aside from the, you know, cinematic universe, like myself. I think my favorite, I mean, I love me some Taika Waititi, so
yeah,
Ragnarok's up there for sure.
Yeah.
To wrap it up for our listeners, what can tease what's coming up from the many arms of the Smosh Empire?
Oh man, well, we're still, you know, always coming out with new stuff on YouTube, Instagram, Facebook, Twitter. Last year we launched a Twitch channel, so that's where we're doing our live board game playing on Mondays from 3 to 6 p.m. PST. That's where you can catch Iffy a lot of the times. I mean, Iffy, you're also on other stuff too.
Yeah, I guess that's the tease, is you're going to see a lot more of me if you will return.
A proper Marvel ending.
But yeah, if you want to find us, just Google Smosh. You can find us on anything. And watch the Tom Hiddleston interview. I'm sure it didn't. I'm sure it didn't age well.
There's some good awkwardness in there,
I'm sure.
Well, Well, thank you guys so much for chatting with us and hanging out with us. And you guys listening, be sure to go check out Smosh wherever you get your internet. It's funny, after we did this interview, I caught Iffy on like a geek competition show, and he was just destroying fools left and right. Like, he was so good. Iffy knows his stuff. But we also have an awesome interview with Munger Zhang from Marvel Studios Shang-Chi and The Legend of the Ten Rings. She plays Zha Ling. We need a little help from our pal Christine Din, who did this interview, so let's give her a call. Boop, 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 boop.
Wow, you just have her number?
Ring, ring, ring. Christine's phone. Ring, ring.
Her ringtone is boop, so boop. Cool. Hi, Christine.
Hello.
So I have to ask, what was it like getting to talk to Munger?
It was just really awesome because this was her first feature film, or just any film. You know, her background was musical theater.
What?
She just like submitted a blind tape, didn't know what she was, you know, submitting for. And that's how they found her.
I did not know that she was a musical theater person. That makes me so happy on so many levels. That's the best.
Well, she said when they did karaoke, everyone was a good singer. And I was like, as a person who's not a good singer, it just makes me feel sad when everyone in the room can just sing.
I'm with you 100% on that one.
Well, let's wait and see if she sings any tracks on this interview right now.
What is your Marvel origin story? Like, how did you get into Marvel as a fan?
Yeah, I watched all the Marvel films in the theaters, and my favorite is Ant-Man.
Perfect. I know that your background was theater and musical theater, and this is your first film. So, like, super congrats on that.
Thank you. Thanks so much.
Like, how did you become part of this film, and like, what drew you to Zha Ling?
Yeah, I didn't know I was auditioning for a Marvel film when I sent myself tapes. I just saw a audition call in a group chat. It said they needed a girl who can speak Mandarin and English. So I thought, well, I can be that girl. So I sent myself tapes and I got a call back. They flew me to do a screen test with Simu. That's when I found out, wow, I was auditioning for Shang-Chi.
I know that Dustin has often said that when he first met you, like everything just radiated magic from you.
Oh, Justin is amazing. Yes, I remember the day that I did my screen test with Simu. I thought I would be so nervous because I've never done a screen test before and I didn't know what that is. And I thought people would be so serious, but actually everyone's so nice and they put me at ease. And Simu showed up in his slippers and in his training suit because he has already started his training at that moment. So he came into that room and say hi to me. He was so nice and he just gave me a brother vibe. And the chemistry is just so natural between us, the brother-sister vibe.
I do love that, you know, like Simu definitely became like family to you because I also know that you also met the love of your life on production and that Simu, you know, surprised you both with, you know, a trip to like Disneyland and then they threw him and Awkwafina through a wedding reception for you.
Yes.
Like, what was it like just working with all of these and getting so close with the whole cast and crew?
I mean, it's just, I feel I'm so lucky because it's so special. And yes, as you said, I met my husband on this production. He is one of the action designers of our film. And we didn't prepare anything for our marriage. And yeah, the production threw us a big party to celebrate. And Simu, he told me he was going to take us to a hike. And he woke us up 8 a.m. in the morning. And he didn't even give me 10 minutes to dry my hair. And I was like, why so hurry? We're going for a hike, right? Just relax. But when I went downstairs and saw a big party bus and Simu, he was like, you're not going on a hike. I'm taking you to Disneyland. And it's like a euro to me. And we really had so much fun that day and we all lost our voices. And Awkwafina, she booked a whole venue for us, a karaoke party. And we sang the top of our lungs. And I actually think we can make a pretty good band. Everyone can sing. Yeah.
Yeah. Especially you, because you were musical theater. But I did want to know, like, your husband being, you know, the action designer, and you really had to do a lot of stunts for your role. How did you, like, train, and, like, did he help you with that? And especially, how hard is it to train with a rope dart?
Oh, the training was pretty intense, because I didn't have any martial arts background before this film. So they flew me 4 months early to train. It's very intense, but fun. You can really hear Simu and I screaming in the stunt stage from a mile away. And I really enjoy the progress that I made. And I built some muscles. Yeah.
Exactly. And also, I truly love that when Zhaoling and Shang-Chi, like, reunite for the first time, you totally kicked his butt in the cage fight.
Yeah. But you know what? In that scene when we shot it, I really punched him in the face. I was nervous, even though we practiced 1,000 times, but I still nervous because I don't want to hurt anyone. And I have never done anything like this before. But Simu, he's very encouraging. And he said, it's okay if you punch me or if you kicked me, you can never hurt me. I'm strong. I can take it. I said, okay. So I got into my character and I went for it. And I punched him in the face. It was an accident. I didn't mean to punch him, but well, I did enjoy it. I enjoyed the it felt good.
It definitely describes, you know, like, your sibling relationship, because, you know, you were estranged and he left you.
Yeah. So that's why I throw all these punches and kicks at him. But there are always love between siblings. Yes. Yeah.
Like, how would you describe your fighting styles? Because your character really had to train in secrets, because, you know, Wenwu didn't believe that women should train. So, like, was it a mixture of your parents' fighting style, or was it something where Zhaoling created her own fighting style?
Yeah, she's really a very strong and tough woman, and she knows how to stand her own ground and find her own voice and use it. And yeah, like rope dart you just mentioned, that was really hard but fun training too. At first, I didn't get it because I tried so hard to control it, but I found the harder I try to control it, the harder to control it. And Master Tan, my rope dart trainer, taught me that just go with it. Just try to communicate with it. And then I got it. It feels like so nice. Like, I'm talking to the weapon that I'm using, and it really became a part of my body. And it's an amazing experience.
What was it like when you finally got to put on your hero outfit look and then, you know, like, mastered the rope dart? How does it feel to, like, be a hero of the film?
It feels amazing. Really, the first time I put on the suit, and can I be honest with you? I did take a little piece of my costume home with me. Yeah, I really love the costume. I think my costume is the coolest.
You look incredible in it. Yes. And I especially love the wisdom that you really connected with, you know, Awkwafina and Michelle Yeoh's characters, because I think a lot of times there isn't a lot of sisterhood and, you know, like, female, like, roles. And I think it was really awesome to see all three of you, like, work together and just carry everything.
Yes. I mean, it was amazing working alongside of them. I really learned a lot. Awkwafina, she's the coolest girl I've ever met, really. And she's so witty. It can be pretty intimidating doing improv alongside of her, because she's so good at it. But I just want to do it more because, you know, I learned a lot. And Michelle Yeoh too, she is so unique. I really adore her. Really, she is a legend. I feel really lucky and feel really proud to be a part of it and working alongside with those strong women in the Marvel Universe.
Did anyone give you, like, tips, you know, since it was your first film, like, how to prepare for not only just your first film, but also what it means to be in the Marvel Universe?
Yeah, Destin helps me a lot. He's very patient with me because I come from theater and I've never had the camera experience. And he explained to me how the camera works and the relationship between actors and cameras. Yeah, he's amazing. He always made the set so light and fun.
Oh, I'm glad. And is there anything that you're really excited for fans to, like, learn about in the film or just your character?
it has great drama, it has great comedy, it has amazing, breathtaking action sequences in it. You're going to laugh with us, and you're going to cry with us, and you're going to carry the
warmth. That is true. Because I definitely cried, because I've seen it now twice, and it was the whole family dinner scene. Like, it like connected with me just because, you know, like, it's very hard when you're an adult and you're trying to hold your own against your parents.
Yeah. And I cried every time I watched Tony Leung and Simu together. Yeah, I mean, it's so intense, but just so, I just love it.
So at the end of the film, we see Xiaoling take over the Ten Rings, and we know that the Ten Rings will return. What does it feel like to be like head boss of this incredible organization?
It gave me chill. Yeah, really. I mean, I'm very excited for Xiaoling. I don't know what's next for her, but I wish I know more about it. I wish I know more. I cannot wait.
All the fans will see you at the throne at the end. That's definitely like your moment to shine. Is there anything you want to like say or impart to our Marvel fans?
Oh, yes. Marvel fans are the best fans. You're so supportive and you put all of yourself into every Marvel experience. And you're also so creative at the premiere. I saw a lot of fans dressed up into the characters in our films. And I was like, oh my God, they're so amazing. And I really feel lucky to have them.
Well, yeah. How did it feel to have, you know, like people dressed up as you?
Wow. I took pictures with them. I wanted to because it's such a beautiful moment. I've never had anything like that before. And I'm really moved.
Thank you so much. I appreciate you taking the time.
All right. Big thank you to Munger and of course you, Christine, for coming through and helping us out and doing some great interviews. We appreciate it.
Go see Marvel Studios' Shang-Chi and the Legend of the Ten Rings in theaters now.
All right. It is now time for our question of the week. So thinking about what we're going to have next week, we're going to have some folks from behind the scenes of Marvel Studios' What If. We've been talking about the show so much lately. It's very exciting to have more What If content on the show. So thinking about that, our question of the week is, what is your favorite episode so far of Marvel Studios' What If? It's a toughie. There's so many great moments.
I know James's favorite episode is my favorite episode too.
T'Challa in space. I mean, listen, I love the character T'Challa, but the fact that, you know, you switch it up is kind of cool. But I will say, don't get me wrong, T'Challa in space is my favorite. But there was something about seeing that woman with the shield.
Yeah.
My wife is a strong woman, so when I see a strong woman just taking brothers out, I'm like, yeah, go ahead, girl, do that thing. And I was like, that was kind of dope to me. I was like, exactly, that's how it should be.
I would also throw in the zombies episode.
It was so good. And so funny.
There's a lot of great stuff throughout the series so far, and we want to hear from you. So you can tweet your answers using hashtag This Week in Marvel, email them to twimpodcast@marvel.com, or send a message to our Facebook page at facebook.com/thisweekinmarvel. And of course, please make sure to tell us it is okay to read on the show. With that in mind, our question of the week last week was, what character in the Marvel Universe would you like to prank? James, since you were not here with us last week, if you had the opportunity to prank a Marvel character, hero or villain, like the folks from Smosh, who would you like the opportunity to prank?
I know I'm going to get shot for this, but it'd probably be Nick Fury.
You 100% will get shot for that.
But you know,
or at least
you know, funny. I think, you know, if you look at me and I pranked Nick Fury and he turned around and saw it was me, he'd probably think I was some cousin, you know, second removed, and so he wouldn't shoot me in the face. So he'd be like, "Who's your aunt?" I'd be like, "Oh, it's Aunt Sandy." Okay, I'll talk to her since you did this. So I'd probably prank Nick Fury. Or
he turns around and you automatically start singing "Friend Like Me."
Yeah,
start
and he's like, "Damn it, I knew it was you, man." Okay, you know I love your show.
Yes. The first tweet we got in was from Mr. Titanium at Mr. Titanium 18, who says, "The prank is all about the reaction, so my choice is Deadpool. I would hang on pins and needles to hear his response. I would also understand that once I pranked him, revenge would be right around the corner." Also for Mr. Titanium, he says to Marvel and Marvel Future Revolution and me and you, Lorraine, he says, I officially loathe all of you. You created an amazing game and I can see my hours slipping away now. The graphics, insane. Multiplayer in a mobile, ridiculous. Thank you for that one, my pal, Mr. Titanium.
That's awesome.
We also have this one from Lieutenant Uhura at LT Uhura 2017, which says, Deadpool, he can dish it out, but I don't think he can take it. And you, I think you're right.
I think everybody trying to prank Deadpool, that's a bad decision.
That is a bad decision. He keeps a list of everybody he's mad at. From Hugo Agostino at Mr. Dr. Watson 76. I would prank Deadpool because I'm sure he would take it easy on me. Or maybe the Hulk because he's so calm and understanding. Signed, a new fan.
Poor Hugo. We barely knew
poor you. Hugo. We knew him well.
And welcome to listening to the show, Hugo. Thanks for being a new fan. Hope you stick around with us. Next up is from I'm That Dan at Skulls underscore Diamond, which says, I would probably prank the Hulk by hiding all his pants. We got this. There's a Loot Crate gear and goods box that is really, it's incredible. It's also called Incredible. It's got all kinds of Hulk stuff in it. It comes with a pair of purple shorts I'm literally wearing right now. They're really comfortable and they have an iron-on or screen printed Hulk on it. And he's a green Hulk on purple pants. But Hulk is wearing his pants, but they didn't change the color of the pants. So he just looks like a fully green Hulk with green pants. And every time I look at him, I'm like, Hulk, why are you naked on my leg? Once you look at it, you realize it's just one solid color, but it's kind of naked.
All right. Jamie Underwood at JJ Styles wrote, I'd have to prank Drax just because he can be funny and he knows how to have a good laugh sometimes. I feel like it would go over Drax's head. Like he'd be like, why have you put a fart cushion on my chair?
Yeah.
I did not fart. That was not my fart.
Kate at Trickstress, I would like to prank Doctor Strange because honestly, he would either be super serious about it or double down, and I would love to see what the answer is. That's pretty cool. I can see that.
Aaliyah the Horror Geek at GN Productions 31 tweets, I'm daring. I'll prank either Loki or Doctor Strange because both take a whole lot of prep time to pull off without getting hurt too much or getting reverse pranked in the process. It's called Operation Whoopee Cushion.
Fart? I didn't fart.
Right.
I wish you could put that on, like, just that sound sample on a profile. So anytime someone clicked on your Twitter, just the sound of, I didn't fart.
Let me just push this button right over here and, yes, there it is.
Oh, gosh.
All right. Next up, Faye at Totally Faye says, 100% Loki. That trickster needs some of his own medicine. Y'all are going to be in trouble.
Cindy Strasner. At Cindy Strasner, I would love to prank Ant-Man and make him think he's small when he's really big. Have him run into something thinking he was going to get away and he gets caught. Wow, are you the cops? Ooh.
Yeah. You should join Jimmy Woo on the search for Ant-Man, Cindy. All right, Dwayne Pagnotto at Dwayne Pagnotto says, I'd love to prank Thor. It'd be funny to replace his mallet with an exact duplicate that anyone could come along and lift up, start doing curls with, swing around with that little strap, and then watch him swear, by Odin's beard, what's afoot here?
Next up, we have Lana at Lana Dawes, who says, I think probably Clint, because he makes me think we could start up some sort of long-witted, over-the-top, and definitely dangerous prank war that lasts years and involves the most eccentric pranks that could potentially be dangerous.
Yeah, I like that. Yes. It's pretty good.
Facebook message from Damon Bozer. For a Marvel character I'd like to pull a prank on, I would pick Spider-Man and Deadpool. They would take it very well.
Spider-Man would be okay.
We've got a big Facebook message from Dustin Radcliffe. Dustin, apologies, we didn't see this one last week, but he says, oh, what a time to be a Spidey fan. Not only am I currently reading through the Spider-Man comics on Marvel Unlimited, but then we got to that huge reveal of Marvel Spider-Man 2 at the PlayStation Showcase. Oh, how amazing. My wife Megan told me about it. We watched it and jaws dropped. The combo of Miles and Peter teaming up with what sounds like Kraven the Hunter and then that Venom reveal was super awesome. Sounds like the two Spider-Men had their webs full. I showed my son the trailer and he got really excited until it said the game was coming out in 2023. We have to wait 2 years, he said. I'm sure it will be well worth the wait. We are beyond thrilled to have another Spider-Man game coming. And oh my God, Marvel Zombies and Marvel Studios What If? This last week was stellar. Spidey looks good with that Doctor Strange cape. And going up against Zombie Wanda, I think would be the most terrifying, considering she almost took out Thanos herself when she wasn't a zombie. Nevertheless, I really love the team they put together and just can't wait for more of these great stories to keep coming. And then that Marvel Studios Hawkeye trailer, so much Marvel, it's fantastic. Thank you for that one, Dustin. All the hype, all the excitement, that was awesome, all the enthusiasm is pretty cool.
All right, next up we've got an email from Jenny Huang that says, hello, Agent M and Lorraine, and I'm going to add in, and James. I really enjoy the podcast so far. I love your upbeat attitude and all your interviews. Since October is just around the corner, I just wanted to get this out. Could you do one story around October featuring Daredevil? It is Meet the Blind Month to focus on the non-sighted. Also, White Cane Day falls on a Friday this year on October 15th. Daredevil has been an inspiration to me ever since I read my first comic in 1994 with very little sight. I was amazed there was a blind superhero out there. Thanks again. Oh, that is a wonderful, lovely suggestion. Thank you so much for sending that to us. We'll put those on our calendar. We'll check that out.
This next one is answering a question from a few weeks ago. It's a delightful email from Amelia Evans. Naturally, when I hear this week's question, a single thing crosses my mind. Will Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. be incorporated into the wider MCU? There is no way you can realistically say no. Why introduce the multiverse when you're just going to crush my dreams about Quake having her own film? And secondly, can I work for Marvel? Admittedly, child labor laws might have a problem with that, but the main point is that I have years worth of comic book plots. The first overarching plots take place over roughly 10 years, and I will introduce multiple new original characters. So why say no when you can risk being copyright claimed by every young adult series in human history? If you're lucky, you can even get some books that aren't in the young adult genre. I checked. They definitely aren't. Anyway, as most people are, I'm a big fan of the podcast. Amelia.
I love this email from Amelia. We can't speak to any of the stuff that you're talking about, especially up top with the multiverse of it all. Who knows? Anything is possible. It's very exciting, but I love that you are already ready to start making your own comics, making your own stories, telling your own tales. You got original characters. Hold on to them, Amelia. Make some cool stories when you're older. Find your collaborators. Tell those tales. And then if you really want to tell some stories with Marvel characters, great. Do it down the line.
I will say this, Amelia. I love your ambition and I love your drive. And if this is what you want to do, if when you wake up in the morning, it is this that drives you, it is these characters, it is your stories, I say keep on doing it. Because I can tell you from just the journey that I've been on, if you put it out there and you keep working hard, it is amazing what doors will open. Enjoy your childhood. Enjoy this moment because you are going to need it when you become this professional writer, because the child you are now will be so excited as the adult begins to write these things. You'll still have that childlike dream. You'll still have that childlike strength. And trust me, by the time you get there, you'll be such a great writer. Your stories will be fire and you won't have to worry about anybody asking you to work for them. They'll be clamoring to get your stuff. So keep doing what you're doing. You are on the right path.
I am very jealous of her right now. Amelia, you're in a wonderful position that if you want to make comics, you can sit at your house and hang out and make comics just for fun. And by the time that you're grown up and ready to start making them professionally, you'll have years of experience on all those other yahoos and you'll grind them into the ground in the best way possible by just being yourself and wonderful.
All right, y'all, that is it. This episode of This Week in Marvel is produced by Alexis Williams, Zachary Goldberg, Isabel Robertson, Lorraine Sink, and Ryan Penagos.
Our audio development manager is Brad Barton.
Jill Duboff is our director of audio.
And special thanks to Hulk's Pants. Hold on to your hats. It's Hulk's Pants. Everybody needs a pair of Hulk's Pants. Hulk needs a pair of Hulk's Pants. The one important part of his character is his pants. So, Hulk's Pants.
Hulk's Pants. Keep them on, because if you keep them on, every day will be strong. Hulk's Pants. Keep them on. Keep them on. Lord, please keep them on.
I'm Ryan.
I'm Lorraine.
And I am JMI.
And this is Marvel.
Your universe.